Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. We are live. It is 12 p.m. Central Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Today, you are listening to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, and in October of 2022, every Tuesday and every Sunday, we will have analysis and discussion of the 144,000 First Fruits Prophecy with the Book of Revelation research scientist, that is me, Dr. Nicole, happening live every Sunday at 12 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays, 12 p.m. Central Time on Sundays. This October, we'll be talking about the 144,000 First Fruits Prophecy. During our live talk, it's your opportunity to listen. That's one way to participate. Another way to participate is to text in a question or to call to share a question or to pose an alternative perspective, or perhaps you have a prayer request. You can reach me and us live during every broadcast at 319-527-6027. Let me make sure to give the prefix. The full number is 1-319-527-6027. So sometimes people use that phone number because they want to call from the car or call from another location and call as a way to listen. Some of you access PGN via Apple Podcasts, others via Blog Talk Radio. If you want to interact with a PGN host, for example, me, as I'm hosting Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish, you can call our PGN phone number and press 1. When you press 1, that will raise your hand in our virtual queue, and that will let me know that you want to interact with me live during the show. Of course, if you don't raise your hand, then I assume that you're participating by listening, and so I will not call on you. So I encourage you to participate in a way that makes sense for you. Another vehicle for participation is through text. You can text us at PGN 24/7. Our PGN text number is 1-214-505-8719. For this particular program, we use the text number to receive questions. So sometimes people feel uncomfortable sharing a question live for various reasons. And so if it is easier or more convenient for you, you can text in your question to 1-214-505-8719. No question is a bad question. We're all learning and enjoying the Book of Revelation together. So I'm excited to receive your question. Just note, this is a question for Book of Revelation research scientist, and my question is, that's all you need to say. You don't even have to say your name or where you're texting from. You can simply present your question, and I'll be happy to receive it and to follow up with an answer to your question on a future broadcast. So thank you for your patience as I share ways to participate in PGN, ways to connect with us at Prophetic Grace Network. And we are going to get in now to the 144,000 First Fruits Prophecy. I want to let you know that beginning with September of 2022 on blogtalkradio.com, the basic study notes for every broadcast of this program are available for you. Everything on PGN is always free. The basic study notes are there for you to review at any time. If you're listening live, you can look at them during the live broadcast. If you're listening to the archive, they are still there. So how do you get to the basic study notes? You go to blogtalkradio.com on the internet. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic. So when you get to that website, that's the link for PGN. All the current broadcasts are there, as well as the opportunity to connect to the archive. So when you go to the date for any particular show for Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish, there's a header slide and a second slide. The header slide has the name of the prophecy we're discussing. So for today, October 2nd, 2022, it says the 144,000 First Fruits Prophecy. And then if you click the arrow, it goes to slide number two. And on slide number two are the basic study notes on one page. So what's included on the basic study notes? The name of the statement of prophecy discussed during this live broadcast, the location in the Book of Revelation, the abstract, the movie trailer in words, the full discussion of prophecy, where that is in the Book of Revelation, a non-exhaustive list of key topics discussed in the statement of prophecy, as well as key words, phrases, and numbers. And finally, I share from my perspective where the prophecy fits in context with other statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. So I'll share with you from the basic study notes some of the key words, phrases, and numbers in this 144,000 First Fruits prophecy we're about to hear and discuss. Of course, the number 144,000, as well as 24 elders and four living beings. Some of the key phrases and words include Mount Zion, sons of Israel, Father's name written on their forehead, sealed, new song, redeemed, pure as virgins, and the Lamb. So today we'll be talking about the mark of God and its discussion in the 144,000 First Fruits prophecy. If you listen during the month of September to this program, you heard discussion of the mark of the beast. We talked extensively about the mark of the beast, which is discussed in the 666 Antichrist prophecy in chapter 13 of the Book of Revelation. Satan is a liar and a deceiver and a plagiarizer. He attempts to counterfeit the activities, strategies, and plans of God. And so it should not come as a surprise that the mark of the beast is simply a counterfeit of the mark of God. It is an inferior effort, an attempt to bring glory only due to God to Satan. So we're going to look at this 144,000 First Fruits prophecy. I want to begin with sharing the list of prophecies that appear in the Book of Revelation, and I want us to take a look at the juxtaposition of how God presents what the end of the story is for Israel with the end of the story for the church. And so we are all one in Christ as the bride of the Lamb. But the story began with Israel, and it continued with the Gentiles. And so we see in the Book of Revelation continuity with God giving us a picture of what happens at the end of the age. In other words, at the time of the Great Tribulation and at the time of the marriage of the Lamb and the new earth, what happens with Israel and what happens with the Gentiles? Again, we're all one in Christ, but we began as Jews and Gentiles. And so we see continuity with that story that began early on in the Bible and which continues all the way to the last book of the Bible, the pinnacle book, the book of Revelation, book number 66 of the Bible. So when we look at the book of Revelation, it has 12 statements of prophecy by my analysis. They begin with the seven seals prophecy, which starts with verse 1 of chapter 5. After the seven seals prophecy, there's the seven trumpets prophecy. And then we have third and fourth, the 1,260 days prophecy. That's prophecy number 3, followed by the 666 Antichrist prophecy. That's prophecy number 4. Now, why do we need to number these, or why is it useful to number them and look at them in context? I want to show you a secret in the book of Revelation. When you look at chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, the 1,260 days prophecy, it focuses primarily on the Great Tribulation. The 666 Antichrist prophecy also focuses on the Great Tribulation and exclusively. So both prophecies, the 1,260 days prophecy, which is immediately followed by the 666 Antichrist prophecy, focus on the Great Tribulation, that 3.5-year period that represents the wrath of Satan. The 1,260 days prophecy, which comes first, is about what happens to Israel during the Great Tribulation. We get a little bit of background, how it is that Israel has been a target since, I'm looking for a date, Israel has been a target, let's say, for more than 2,000 years. So the Bible takes us all the way back to Satan's first adversarial thought towards Israel, and then brings us all the way up to the Great Tribulation period. So in a nutshell, the 1,260 days prophecy is about what happens specifically to the nation of Israel during the 3.5-year Great Tribulation, immediately following the 666 Antichrist prophecy, is about what happens to Christians during the Great Tribulation period. So you see there's the juxtaposition of Israel and the Gentiles. And this is continuity of the story, right? So the story begins in the Old Testament. It continues into the New Testament. But hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so if God in the beginning talked about Israel and the Gentiles, it makes sense that at the end of this age, he continues to tell us what is the end of this story with Israel and the Gentiles. And so we see that in the 1,260 days prophecy and the 666 Antichrist prophecy. Okay, let's continue with talking about our focus for today, the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. This prophecy begins with talking about Israel and what it means to redeem those who are descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then the prophecy immediately following it, the earth reaped prophecy, is about how the Gentiles will be redeemed from the earth. So the marriage of the Lamb, the first resurrection, happens after the Great Tribulation. and all who are in Christ will be redeemed. All who are on the earth who are in Christ will be redeemed. We will put on our incorruptible, immortal, perfected, glorified bodies. And of course, those who are disembodied and currently dwelling in heaven with their same mind, will, and emotion, their same soul, their same spirit, they are alive and well. They are simply disembodied, waiting. They are waiting for the marriage of the Lamb. They are waiting for the first resurrection. And talking about the great tribulation period, the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation, by my analysis, 7 of the 12 statements of prophecy focus either primarily or exclusively on the upcoming 3.5-year great tribulation period, which is incredible. It's a very important period, so important that the majority of the prophecies in the book of Revelation are about that period. Even Daniel, who was shown things about this period, he was not allowed to get answers about what it all meant because he was told it was for the end of the age, not for his time. So we are at that time now. We are at the time of the end of the age. What's the age? It's the age of Satan being the prince of the earth. It's the age of human government. We are headed to the age of the government of Jesus Christ. And in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." And that series of verses begins with, "For unto us a child is born." And we're told his names: Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so talking about the Great Tribulation and how the book of Revelation focuses how the majority of the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation focus on the 3.5-year Great Tribulation period, in the same way that the 1,260 days prophecy and the 666 Antichrist prophecy go in order, and they say, what is happening first to Israel during the Great Tribulation period, and then what is happening to the Gentiles in the Great Tribulation period, the church, the saints. When we look at the 144,000 first fruits prophecy and the earth reaped prophecy immediately following it, we see first what is happening to Israel at the time of the redeeming of the peoples of the earth, and then what is happening to the Gentiles with respect to redeeming the people of the earth. What does that mean? So God wanted a family, a forever family, a forever wife, individuals that he could be connected to forever and ever, who would love him by choice, individuals who would choose to be with him and to be devoted to him and to not commit adultery by being with other gods, worshiping other gods, giving attention to other gods, celebrating other gods. He wanted a forever wife who was a virgin, who held herself pure, meaning focusing exclusively on him as God, as Father. And so where could God get this forever family, this forever wife? He could get it from the earth. And so the earth reaped is a metaphor for God gaining a forever family, reaping the harvest of the earth. So the harvest includes the wheat and the tares. So the wheat are those who are Team Jesus and who bear the mark of God. We will all have the mark of God. The tares are those who are Team Satan, and they will bear the mark of the beast. Now, when is this? We're talking about during the Great Tribulation. There are those who are Team Jesus, those who are Team Satan. During the Great Tribulation, those who are Team Satan will wear the mark of the beast, and those who are Team Jesus will refuse the mark of the beast. And so God will reap a harvest at the end of the age. All of the wheat will be gathered and the tares will be separated out. So there's the wheat and the tares, those who are Team Jesus and those who are Team Satan. There are the sheep and the goats, those who are Team Jesus, the sheep, and those who are the goats, those who are Team Satan. My sheep hear my voice and another's voice, the voice of Satan, the voice of the false prophet, the voice of the Antichrist, the voice of the world, they will not follow. And so, sometimes people have used a replacement theology when looking at the book of Revelation. Oh, everything that says Israel is really Christians. No, if it says Israel, it means Israel. If it says the saints, it means the saints. If it says the church, it means the church. The Bible says what it means to say. Okay. And so we're going to look at this 144,000 first fruits prophecy, like the dead judged prophecy in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. It is relatively short. It includes five verses, verses 1 to 5 of chapter 14, in the same way that the dead judged prophecy includes verses 11 to 15 of chapter 20. But you can get a lot. You can get a lot in five verses. And obviously it's important to God because it's his own statement of prophecy. In the same way, there's a seven seals prophecy, there's a seven trumpets prophecy, there's a 666 Antichrist prophecy, there's a seven plagues prophecy. So talking about this 144,000 first fruits prophecy, I heard someone say the 144,000, these are the people who will be saved. And someone told me that in one particular religion, and I don't know that this is true, but if you're familiar with it or maybe you're in this particular denomination, I'm in particular want you to hear this. They said the 144,000 represent the only people who are actually going to be saved, the only people who actually participate in the first resurrection. If you're not one of the 144,000, then you're doomed and you're going to hell. That's not true. That's not true. And we're going to see that. This is not my opinion. We're going to hear and see what does the scripture tell us about the 144,000. So there are those who will be redeemed from the earth, who are the descendants of Israel. And then there are those who are going to be redeemed from the earth, who are a part of the church. Now, of course, there are some descendants of Israel who are saved. They have already accepted God's plan for salvation. And then there are those who are descendants of Israel who will not be saved until the second coming of Jesus Christ, where they see him descending from the clouds and come to fight and win the battle of Armageddon on their behalf in Jerusalem. Are you with me, friend? Are you with me, friend? Let me say that again. there are descendants of Israel who will not be saved until they see Jesus Christ come and fight the Battle of Armageddon on their behalf. And they're going to ask him, they're going to see the holes in his hands and ask him, where did you get those holes in your hand, Jesus? And he's going to say, I got these holes in the house. I want to get that scripture for us. I'm going to see if I can get that up right now. And so what's the take-home point? As we look at the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, we need to understand that it is presented in a series of prophecy talking about the descendants of Israel first, those who are not in Christ at the time of the second coming, and then it is followed by the earth reaped prophecy, which talks about the Gentiles. The church, I should say. The church, which includes primarily Gentiles and those Jews who are in Christ already before the second coming. So I hope I provided clarity on that. Let us go to the scripture so we can hear about that. I want to make sure that we are clear that those who will participate in the marriage of the Lamb, those who are the bride of Christ, those who whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who will rule and reign with Jesus Christ during the millennial reign and beyond through the great white throne judgment and on the new earth forever and ever for the ages and ages to come. That number is greater than 144,000. I need you to hear that, friend. You might say, well, Dr. Nicole, I already know that. Okay. But I need to make sure that we all know that because I've heard that over and over again. There's a particular sect that say that only 144,000 are going to be saved. And, friend, when we look at this first fruits prophecy and then the earth reaped prophecy, we'll see that the 144,000 is limited to one group discussed in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and in the book of Revelation. So you might say, well, you know, those who are in Christ, why does there need to be continued discussion about Israel? Since Jesus died on the cross, it's now all about the church. No, 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 friend. It's not all about the church. It's about Israel and the church. God never gave up on Israel. He comes to fight and win the Battle of Armageddon on behalf of Israel. He's going to relocate, God the Father is going to relocate his home from heaven to Jerusalem in Israel. So we can't stop talking about Israel because Israel is fundamental to God's plan and his kingdom. You cannot take out Israel. You cannot use a replacement theology if you are seeking to truly understand what the book of Revelation says. Replacement theology will lead you to a dead end. It will lead you to a corner. It will lead you to wrong ideas about the end times. And you might say, well, are you sure? Are you sure about that? Friend, we see it over and over again. Let's take a look at this now. Let's hear now from the New Living Translation. The 144,000 first fruits prophecy in the book of Revelation, it begins with its own movie trailer in words called an abstract. In professional writing, when we look at nonfiction reports, the movie trailer for a nonfiction report is called an abstract. And that's verse 1 of chapter 14. So it will tell us in a nutshell, what is the 144,000 first fruits prophecy about? Well, let's hear it. It says, and this is John the Revelator speaking, John the son of Zebedee and Salome, he said, "Then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads." Okay, that's it. Let's hear it one more time. "Then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads." So Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. So we know we're talking about Jesus, and he's on Mount Zion. So he's here on earth. So that means necessarily this is happening after the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is happening after the first resurrection. And it says that there were 144,000 people with him as he stood on Mount Zion, and all of these individuals have something on their foreheads. Now, Satan, during the Great Tribulation, he will have people take the mark of God, I'm sorry, the mark of the beast, to put it on their foreheads, which is a counterfeit of the mark of God. Let me say that again. Satan will have a counterfeit of the mark of God, which is the mark of the beast, the 666, the number of his name, the number of the beast on their foreheads. But you see, that is simply a counterfeit. The true mark is having the name of the Lamb and the name of the Father on one's forehead. Friend, God's perfect plan is for each of us to have on our forehead the name of Jesus Christ and the name of the Father. Well, you say, I'm not sure about that. Let's take a look at what the Bible says. So if you look in the book of Revelation, the forehead is mentioned many times. We see it mentioned in Revelation 7:3. In Revelation 9:4, in Revelation 13:16, 14:1, 14:9, 17:5, and 24. But most interesting and not mentioned yet is where it's mentioned in Revelation 13. So in Revelation 3. In Revelation 3, we have the seven letters to the seven churches. And Jesus Christ, in his own words, is telling each of the churches, here's something that you're doing wrong, here's something that you're doing right, and by the way, for every person who is victorious, here's what you're going to get. And speaking of what the rewards are for those who are victorious, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, we're told that one of the things that all of us whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, every person who is Team Jesus, so at the end of the age, each human being will be either Team Jesus or Team Satan. If you are Team Jesus, your name will be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you are Team Satan, your name is not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you are Team Jesus, you will be resurrected to immortality, eternal life. If you are Team Satan, you will be resurrected to eternal damnation. Those who are Team Jesus are resurrected at the time of the second coming. Those who are Team Satan are resurrected at the time of the great white throne judgment, 1,000 years after the second coming. So there are some important differences. And let's look at Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. We're talking about the forehead. And I want to read from the New Living Translation. And Jesus says, all who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the New Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God, and I will also write on them my new name. Let me read those two parts again. So in verse 12, it says in part, this is Jesus Christ speaking in his own words about every person who will be victorious, every person who is victorious at the end of the age, every person who is Team Jesus, every person who has found and followed God's plan for salvation. It says, Jesus says, I will write on them the name of my God. And he also says, and I will also write on them my new name. So that's in Revelation chapter 3. This is in a message to one of the seven churches. So this was almost 2,000 years ago. So this is at the time that John the Revelator dwelled on this earth. He wrote mostly about the Great Tribulation and prophecies for our time. But in chapters 2 and 3, he provided, as a result of the testimony of Jesus Christ, seven letters for the seven churches that existed at that time. So there were seven churches that existed at that time. You may have heard of them: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And these churches were the churches of locations that existed in Asia at that time. And so Jesus was telling them about the various rewards and why they needed to persevere to the end and what they were going to get. And so one of the things he says, listen, he who overcomes, he who is victorious, you're going to get my name on your forehead, my new name, and the name of my God. And so now let's go back. So this is at the time that John the Revelator lived on the earth, nearly 2,000 years ago. These are the first people of the church. These are the people who were taught by those who actually knew Jesus Christ and were his disciples, and then now they're teaching others. Okay, so this was a long time ago, and now we're fast-forwarding 100 years, 200 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years. We're fast-forwarding. We're going beyond today. We're going to after the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we see that it's no longer a prophecy from the words of Jesus Christ. It's now a reality on the earth. And that reality is presented in the movie trailer in words for the 144,000 First Fruits prophecy. We see that there are individuals who are standing on this earth with Jesus Christ after he has returned, and on their foreheads, they don't have the mark of the beast. They have the mark of God. And what is the mark of God? It is the name, the new name of Jesus Christ. It includes that. And it also includes the name of the Father. And it is inscribed on one's forehead. Now, Exactly what it will look like, I can't tell you that. I don't see that in the book of Revelation, but we are told that it is an inscription. And it's on, it will be on our foreheads, who's our, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So Jesus promises that those who are victorious will have this mark on their foreheads. He's going to put his name. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, let's hear it again. He says, all who are victorious will become pillars of in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God. And they will be citizens in the city of my God. What's that? The New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. And so these 144,000 are at the, they're beyond the end of the age. They are here when Jesus Christ returns. And so now what Jesus said that he would do, he has done. And so on their foreheads are the new name of Jesus Christ and the name of the Father. By the way, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 4, it also says, they shall see his face, talking about those who are victorious, and his name shall be on their foreheads. So it's very important, this mark of God. It's mentioned over and over again in the book of Revelation. And so no wonder, no wonder the false prophet, as inspired by Satan, as his agent on the earth, no wonder he compels people to get the mark of the beast. Because Satan wants to do what God does. He wants to have what God has, and he wants to do what God does. So God has said, my plan is to put my name, my mark on the foreheads of my children, my people. And so Satan says, oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to put my name, my mark on the foreheads of my people. So it's important to never take the mark of the beast, even on pain of death. It's better to lose one's life and to fall into a temporary sleep and be resurrected for eternal life than to take the mark of the beast, lose the opportunity for eternal life, and be resurrected to eternal damnation at the time of the great white throne judgment. Okay, let us continue. We have heard the movie trailer in words for the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. Now, what else? Now, remember way back in over 2,000 years ago when Jesus gave John the Revelator words for the first church. These are the first people who were taught after Jesus Christ had ascended. He said a lot in verse 12. He told them, I'm going to put on your forehead the name of my God and my own new name. And he also says, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven. Now, when does the new Jerusalem come down from heaven? So we're talking about events that happen over years and even millennia. So we need to know, when are we with respect to these prophecies in the book of Revelation? The new Jerusalem descends from heaven approximately 1,000 years after the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, how do we know that? We know in Revelation chapter 19, we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the battle of Armageddon. Jesus Christ comes on a white horse with troops from heaven, and he fights and wins the Battle of Armageddon. He hurls the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire. They go straight to the second death. That's the permanent death. Then in the millennial reign prophecy, immediately following in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, we see the beginning of the government of Jesus Christ. At the end of 1,000 years, Satan is loosed for a short while. Then he's defeated, and he's thrown into the lake of fire. That's the second death, and he joins the Antichrist and the false prophet who've been living there in the lake of fire for eternity for 1,000 years. So they've been there 1,000 years. Their leader, Satan, joins them at the end of the millennial reign. Okay. So when is we're getting to the answer to the question, when does the New Jerusalem come? After Satan is tossed into the lake of fire and he's destroyed with that, then there's the great white throne judgment that's described in the dead judged prophecy. Verses 11 to 15 of chapter 20. Now this is important. God has five enemies, in the order of their destruction. The Antichrist and the false prophet who were destroyed at the Battle of Armageddon. Satan, who's destroyed at the end of the thousand-year millennial reign, the first 1,000 years of the government, the kingdom of Jesus Christ on this earth. And enemy number four is everyone who is Team Satan, everyone who has taken the mark of the beast during the Great Tribulation, as well as everyone who rejected God's plan for salvation. So those who lived before the Great Tribulation but rejected God's plan for salvation, and the mortals who will live on the earth during the millennial reign, who choose to reject God's plan of salvation. You say, wait, they're going to be mortals after Jesus comes back? Yeah, we know that because we see that Satan deceives a bunch of them and they go with him to Jerusalem again. And unfortunately, they are destroyed. And they too are Team Satan. Everyone who is Team Satan, who has pledged allegiance to Satan, who is inspired by Satan, who is ruled by Satan and other demonic spirits, they will be destroyed. What does that mean? That means that their continuity of life happens in one location. That location is the lake of fire that burns with brimstone forever and ever. They are disallowed to live on the earth, this present earth, and they will be disallowed to live on the new earth, the perfected version of this earth that's coming. So we are getting a perfected, glorified, incorruptible, immortal body. And this earth is going to a perfected, incorruptible, glorified earth. We're going to a new earth. That's the final prophecy in the book of Revelation. It is amazing. What does this earth look like? It is amazing. It is described in the New Earth Prophecy. We'll be talking about it again in 2023. But briefly today, I want to say, talking about the five enemies of God, during the Great White Throne Judgment, every person who is Team Satan will be judged. And when their names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life and all their sins are noted, their sentencing will be to eternal damnation, and then that's when they go into the lake of fire. So those are four enemies of God who are now all destroyed through what? The second death. That's God's strategy for destroying his enemies and every evil thing, the second death. That's God's strategy. So who experiences the second death? The Antichrist and false prophet, Satan, and now everyone who is Team Satan, all his children. And finally, death itself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, it says, and the last enemy he destroys, talking about Jesus Christ, will be death. So you say, what? How's death going to be destroyed? Well, in the dead judged prophecy, it says, then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So what does that mean? Once the last enemy to be destroyed is destroyed, we go to a new earth. God transitions, now that every evil thing and every evil person has been eradicated from the earth, God is free to transition it to the perfected version he always intended it to be without the threat of it being destroyed or corrupted or otherwise defiled by Satan and those who follow him, both fallen angels and humans who were deceived. So once every evil thing and every evil person is removed from the earth, God is going to transition this earth to a new earth, a perfected version of this earth, and then he brings down, he's already created a new Jerusalem, we're told. It's created in heaven, and then he says, okay, now that the earth is ready, I'm sending this new version of Jerusalem, the city where I said thousands of years ago that I'm coming, and now that things are ready, that I have successfully executed my plan, I am sending the city that I'm going to live in, I have created it, and I'm sending it to the earth. And so Jesus promised that here in verse 12 of chapter 3. He says, they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. So I've been talking a long time because in order to understand this 144,000 prophecy, we have to get where we are in time, where we are in time. And so we're talking about 144,000 people who are here on the present earth, and they have the name of the Father on their foreheads and the new name of Jesus Christ. Now, when we go into the full report of this prophecy, we're going to see that we're moving forward in time. Let's hear the rest, the full report of the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, the movie in its entirety, if you will. So we heard the movie trailer. Now let's hear the full report. And I heard a sound from heaven, like the roar of mighty ocean waves or the rolling of loud thunder. It was like the sound of many harpists playing together. This great choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God and before the four living beings and the 24 elders. No one could learn this song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. They kept themselves as pure as virgins, following the Lamb wherever he goes. They had been purchased from among the people on the earth as a special offering to God and to the Lamb. They have told no lies. They are without blame. Now, who are these 144,000? I began our discussion saying that this prophecy is juxtaposed. It's juxtaposed with the earth reaped prophecy, and it is about Israel and those who are reaped as descendants of Israel, and it's followed by a prophecy about those who are reaped from the bride of Christ, those who are in Christ at the second coming, which mostly includes Gentiles, but can include others as well. Let's talk about this 144,000 right now, though. Who are they? In Revelation chapter 7, we're told who the 144,000 are in the seven seals prophecy. In verse 5 of chapter 7, let's start with verse 4. It says, and then I heard how many were sealed, marked out of every tribe of the sons of Israel. There were 144,000. So that tells you right there that the 144,000 are talking about those who are the sons of Israel. Now, I've heard people say, you know, the tribe of, there's one group that says something like this, the tribe of Manasseh, those are Puerto Ricans, and the tribe of Simeon, those are Dominicans, and the tribe of Benjamin, and they have all this replacement theology. So that particular group is replacing specific groups with Israel in the same way when we traditionally talk about replacement theology, we're talking about replacing Israel with the church or the bride of Christ. And my take-home point in both instances is the same. If we are to understand the book of Revelation, we cannot use replacement theology because we'll fail. We'll miss it. The secrets will remain locked. The secrets to the book of Revelation are locked to anyone who uses replacement theology. Now, it says right here in verse 7, and then I heard how many were sealed, marked out of every tribe of the sons of Israel. There were 144,000. Then we're told specifically what the breakdown is. 12,000 were sealed out of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 of the tribe of Benjamin. So that is giving us a breakdown of these 144,000 who are reaped, who are redeemed, specifically those who were not in Christ, who were descendants of the sons of Israel, who did not come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ until he came, until he actually arrives here and fights and wins the Battle of Armageddon. They will have the opportunity to be saved, and they will take it. Okay, that's for another program. But we're going to get to that as well. But let's stay where we are for now. So I share with you that the 144,000, that number does not reflect the total number of those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me say that again. The number of people included in the royal race exceeds 144,000. If you are not a son of Israel, that does not mean that your name, that it's impossible for your name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That does not mean that your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Some people have used this replacement theology because when they look at this, they've misinterpreted it and they think, I have to be one of the sons of Israel or otherwise God doesn't love me and I'm not going to be saved. And that's a lie from the pits of hell. So the 144,000 is represents one group that will be redeemed. And then there's the earth reaped prophecy that follows it that includes everyone else. Let's continue here in Revelation 7 just to get proof, Bible proof, that those, that the number whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that it exceeds 144,000. So in verse 9 it says, in the seven seals prophecy, verse 9 of chapter 7, after this I looked. So this is after John looked and saw the 144,000 from the sons of Israel. After this I looked, and a vast host appeared, which no one could count, gathered out of every nation from all tribes and peoples and languages. These stood before the throne and before the Lamb. They were attired in white robes with palm branches in their hands. So we have Bible proof that the number of those whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is a very large number. And in fact, John says it's so large that no one can count the number and that it includes individuals of every nation. So if you don't have Jewish heritage, that does not mean that you're doomed. And if you're not in that particular religion, it says that only those in their religion are the 144,000, and not all of them, but just some, just the special ones. Friend, that's just not true. And I don't want to offend anybody. The most important thing is salvation. I'm not trying to offend anyone. But we must let the Bible guide our beliefs. We don't take our beliefs and see how they fit in with the Bible. We take the Bible, we accept that it is the truth, and then we use it to shape our thinking, to transform us from the inside out. Okay, let's go back to the first fruits prophecy. So when are we? When are we? So in this prophecy, we're told that they sing a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God and before the four living beings and the 24 elders. And they have been purchased from among the people on the earth as a special offering to God and to the Lamb. And then later, going back to the seven seals prophecy, when John asked, it says here in verse 13, then addressing me, one of the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin said, who are these people clothed in the long white robes and from where have they come? And then John said in verse 14, I replied, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation, persecution, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are now before the very throne of God and serve him day and night in his sanctuary. And he who is sitting upon the throne will protect and spread his tabernacle over and shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun smite them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the waters of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, where does it say that God's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes? It's in the New Earth prophecy. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, it says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be anguish, sorrow, and mourning, nor grief, nor pain any more, for the old conditions and the former order of things have passed away. We are transitioning from, during the Great Tribulation, Satan's new world order to God's new order that will exist on the new earth. The millennial reign is a transition period. We say, how can it be a transition period? Satan will be permitted for a short time to deceive the mortals that exist during the millennial reign on the earth. But after Satan is destroyed with the second death, the great white throne judgment happens, every evil thing, all five of God's enemies are destroyed with the second death, and then we transition to the new earth. And what happens on the new earth? God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What else happens in verse 4 of chapter 22? They shall see his face. Whose face? God the Father. So we'll see the face of the Lamb, God manifest in the flesh, both Son of God and Son of Man. We'll see the face of Jesus Christ at the time of the second coming, but God the Father, that other form of God, is going to relocate from heaven to earth, where? To the new Jerusalem that he sends from heaven to the new earth. And it says in verse 4, they shall see his face and his name shall be on their foreheads. And so when we look at this 144,000 first fruits prophecy and we look at that part of the seven seals prophecy, it is traversing more than 1,000 years. I just said a lot right there. So you say, well, wait a minute. How are we going so fast? Friend, if you had to write the story of your life in 2 pages, there would be a lot of stuff that's really interesting that you'd have to leave out. You'd have to make hard decisions. You'd have to be succinct with your words. You'd have to choose specifically what's most important for the reader to know. And so when we look at the book of Revelation, one of the secrets This is also when we look at Ezekiel and we look at other books in the Bible, books from the prophets. God is giving them information for us that happens across thousands of years. So in the Seven Seals prophecy, we're talking about those who are redeemed and how they are standing on the earth. And then we're fast forwarding all the way across the millennial reign and beyond to the period of the new earth. We say, wait a minute. You lost me. How do we know that we're beyond the millennial reign at the end of that part of the Seven Seals prophecy? How do we know we're talking about that period in the 144,000 first fruits prophecy? It says, "For this reason, they are now before the very throne of God and serve him day and night in his sanctuary. And he who is sitting upon the throne will protect and spread his tabernacle over and shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more." And then it continues and it says, "He will guide them to the springs of the waters of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So this is ultimately what happens. So we tend to think of life as what happened last year or what happened 20 years ago or what's going to happen in the next decade. But God talks about millennia and eternities. So we shouldn't be shocked when we see prophecies that stretch over long periods of time, because God has important things to tell us that go beyond one period of time, one short period of time. So what's the take-home point? The 144,000 first fruits prophecy is about those who are the sons of Israel who are redeemed from the earth. They will have the mark of God on their foreheads. And they will be with Jesus Christ at the time of the second coming. They will stand on Mount Zion, and they will be here on the new earth. Now, let's make sure we get this point that those who are members of the royal race go beyond the 144,000. And let me go back for one second. In the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, I also wanted to share, it says, "They have kept themselves as pure as virgins, following the Lamb wherever he goes." So what does that mean, pure as virgins? When God talks about fornication in the book of Revelation, he's talking about what happens when a person worships a false god. So if a person practices astrology, or a person is in a religion that does not say that Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, if Jesus Christ is not at the center, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so there are, what it means to be a virgin is to keep oneself purely dedicated to, worshiping, focused on, believing in Jesus Christ. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Great is the mystery of the Godhead." So there's God the Father. He needed a human form, and so he gave himself a body, and he became Jesus Christ. And he ascended to heaven so that he could prepare a place for us. But he didn't want to leave us as orphans, and so he sent another form of himself, the Holy Spirit, to dwell inside of us, who's us, those who have chosen to accept his plan of salvation, to repent of our sins, make him Lord of our life, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit. And so he says here in verse 4, they have kept themselves as pure as virgins. And what are they doing now? Following the Lamb wherever he goes. So what are their activities? Following Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Why are they following Jesus Christ? So when Jesus talks about what is going to happen to those who are victorious, he promised this to the church way back more than 2,000 years ago. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, he said, all who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. So now we're talking about these 144,000 are citizens of the New Jerusalem. And he's written on them his own new name as well as the name of his God. And it begins with telling us, then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. Okay, so we've been talking about the sons of Israel, which is very exciting. But what if you're not in that group? Don't feel distressed. God describes what happens for those who are in Christ at the second coming. Is described in the earth-reaped prophecy, and I just want to briefly share from that prophecy. It's not our focus today, but I want to briefly share from that. In Revelation chapter 14, it says in verse 15, and another angel came out of the temple sanctuary, calling with a mighty voice to him who was sitting upon the cloud, put in your scythe and reap, for the hour has arrived to gather the harvest, for the earth's crop is fully ripened. So what does that mean, to gather the harvest? That's the redeeming part. That's God getting what it was he wanted from the earth, which is a forever family, a forever bride. Those who will love him by choice and forever and ever. A bride who will be with him in body, spirit, and soul physically, who will see his face and dwell with him on a perfect earth. That's why God is moving from heaven to earth. Why? Because he wants to be with his forever bride. That's you and that's me. And so the book of Revelation is all about the unveiling of Jesus Christ and how he's coming to fight and win the battle of Armageddon so he can be with his forever bride on this present earth and the new earth to come for the eternities of the eternities. And so for those who are in Christ at the second coming of Jesus Christ, in verse 15 of chapter 14, it says, and another angel came out of the temple sanctuary, calling with a mighty voice to him who was sitting upon the cloud, put in your scythe and reap, for the hour has arrived to gather the harvest. The earth's crop is fully ripened. Time for the resurrection. It's time for the marriage of the Lamb. Time is up. Time is up. All those who are coming and going to be a part of the first resurrection, that number is complete. That's the hour. For the hour has arrived to gather the harvest. Where are we being gathered from? We're being gathered from everyone who's on the earth in Christ at the time of the second coming, everyone who's in heaven at the time of the second coming. We all are part of Earth's crop. We're fully ripened. Tried to say those two words at once. And then it says in verse 16, so he who was sitting upon the cloud swung his sickle on the earth, and the earth's crop was harvested. So what does that mean? That means that the first resurrection happens. That means that we rise up in our perfected, immortal, glorified bodies. Now, what else happens? Briefly. So those who were not in Christ at the time of the second coming, the tares, the goats, what happens to them? It says in verses 18, 19, and 20 of chapter 14 in the earth reaped prophecy, and another angel came forth from the altar, the angel who has authority and power over fire, and he called with a loud cry to him who had the sharp side sickle, put forth your scythe and reap the fruitage of the vine of the earth, for the grapes are entirely ripe. So the angel swung his scythe on the earth and stripped the grapes and gathered the vintage from the vines of the earth and cast it into the huge winepress of God's indignation and wrath. That doesn't sound good. What's the wrath of God? It includes the seven plagues. In verse 16, it says, then I heard a mighty voice from the temple sanctuary saying to the seven angels, go and empty out on the earth the seven bowls of God's wrath and indignation. So God's indignation and wrath is for, according to the book of Revelation, it's for the vine of the earth. The earth's crop, the wheat, was already harvested. So now that the wheat has been harvested, what happens to the tares? What happens to the goats? The vine of the earth. So they are cast into the huge winepress of God's indignation and wrath. Then it says in verse 20, and the grapes in the winepress, who are the grapes in the winepress? Those are those who took the mark of the beast during the great tribulation. Those who, when we put on our incorruptible, immortal, perfected bodies, they didn't make it. So we all rise up in a sin to meet Jesus in the clouds. They didn't make it. What happens to them? It says here in verse 20 of chapter 14, and the grapes in the winepress were trodden outside the city, and blood poured from the winepress, reaching as high as horses' bridles, for a distance of 1,600 stadia, about 200 miles. I'm going to say this briefly. The marriage of the Lamb is the first resurrection. It's followed by the marriage supper, which is the Battle of Armageddon. And so after the marriage of the Lamb, that's the first resurrection. There's the Battle of Armageddon. And those who are here on the earth who have taken the mark of the beast, the tares, the goats, unfortunately, that harvest will happen. It's called the harvest of the vine of the earth, the grapes. They will be destroyed. They will experience the first death at the hands of Jesus Christ. The wrath of Satan, the great tribulation, is followed by the wrath of God. The seven plagues which began and culminate with the Battle of Armageddon. It's right here in several books of the book of Revelation. Several prophecies, in the book of Revelation. So, what's the take-home point with respect to this 144,000 first fruits prophecy? There's 144,000 who are redeemed, and then there are those from all the nations of the earth. And God is talking about the marriage of the Lamb, including the 144,000, as well as all the others, and that number is so great. It's not countable, according to John the Revelator. And he is telling us what happens beyond the marriage of the Lamb. So, of course, the Battle of Armageddon is super interesting. And I love to see specifically in verse 20 of chapter 19 how the Antichrist and the false prophet are destroyed. And I love reading about the millennial reign in the millennial reign prophecy in chapter 20, as well as the great white throne judgment. But God wants to talk about more than just the millennial reign, more than the Battle of Armageddon, more than a millennial reign, more than the great white throne judgment. He wants us to think about and know about what is happening on the new earth. And so he doesn't wait until the end of the book of Revelation to tell us about the end. Way early in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, he's saying, hey, for those of you who are victorious, I'm going to put my name on your forehead, my new name and the name of my God, and you will never be put out of or go out of the sanctuary of my God. Well, when does that happen? That happens on the new earth. You'll never be put out of it. He wants to talk about the activities of the new earth. I will wipe away all your tears. When does that happen? It says God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And it says in verse 3, this is all in the New Earth prophecy, the abode of God is with men, and he will live and camp tent among them, and they shall be his people, and God shall personally be with them and be their God. So there's Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And there's God the Father in another form. That other form is also coming, but coming to the new earth after Jesus Christ has transitioned us from this present earth through the millennial reign to the new earth. And so the 144,000 first fruits prophecy and the earth reaped prophecy, God doesn't wait in this 144,000 first fruits prophecy to talk about the new earth until we get to that chapter. So he says, these are they who have been ransomed, purchased, redeemed from among men as the first fruits for God and the Lamb. And they sing a new song before the throne of God and before the four living creatures and before the elders. Okay, I want to pause there, and I want to ask you to stay with us as we continue discussion of this 144,000 first fruits prophecy. Next week, I'll be sharing more Bible scripture. I'll be sharing more insights. I'll be answering questions about the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. And next year, I want to ask you now to think about and to start planning for Book of Revelation for 2023. So in 2023, we're going from start to finish of the Book of Revelation. In January, we'll be talking about the seven seals prophecy. In February, the seven trumpets prophecy. In March, the 1,260 days prophecy. In April, the 666 Antichrist prophecy. In May, we'll be revisiting the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. In June, the earth reaped prophecy. In July, we'll be talking about the seven plagues. That's the wrath of God, which follows the great tribulation. So there's the great tribulation, which is the wrath of Satan, followed by the wrath of God, which culminates in the Battle of Armageddon. Then we'll be talking about the purple and scarlet prophecy, the marriage supper prophecy, the millennial reign prophecy, the dead judge prophecy, and finally, the new earth prophecy. You know, the book of Revelation has so many layers and so many secrets. I found that there's a really easy way to start getting it, to start getting it and having that information be not just something that you understand, but something that you're able to access on demand. In other words, you can remember it when you want to. And the way that that happens is that when you hear something, the learning experts tell us, when you hear something seven times, when you've had seven meaningful experiences experiences with some piece of information, it is encoded in your long-term memory in such a way that you're able to retrieve it on demand. And so that's what we're doing here on Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. We have, on average, 9 talks on the same prophecy in the Book of Revelation every month. Each talk is unique. Each talk is live. But it's discussion of the same prophecy so that when you're hearing different examples, when you're hearing new discussion, when you're hearing that scripture and you're understanding it over and over again without having to take 1,000 notes, without having to do something super effortful, simply by listening and giving it your attention, it begins to get in your mind in a way that your brain is able to process it, push it into your long-term memory so that you can access it on demand. And that is our goal, for you to understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. So please plan to be with us every Sunday in 2023 or every Tuesday, or to listen from the archive at the same time each week, a time that is convenient for you. Friend, I want to thank you for being with me and with us. I want to pray a blessing over you from the Book of Revelation. In verse 3, chapter 1, it says, "Blessed, happy to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy, and blessed, happy to be envied are those who hear it read, and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. So I declare and decree that you are blessed, you are happy to be envied, because you heard the words of the prophecy of the Book of Revelation read today. And I pray that both you and I will heed these prophecies and lay them to our hearts, because the time is near for them to be fulfilled." God bless you. Thank you for being with me and with us. Until next time, friend, take care.